Let's look tonight for just a moment in the Word of God. Isaiah chapter number 64. I'll find it here in just a minute.
Let's look here tonight. I don't think I'll read the entire chapter tonight, but let's start in verse number 1, and I just want to give you a thought tonight, and we'll have a season of prayer together. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. And as when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. And behold, thou art wroth and or angry, for we have sinned in those as continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Now, in verse 7 is the text I want to look at tonight. I just had this in my heart. The Bible said, and there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we're the clay. How many's glad we can say that tonight?
Amen.
Thou art a potter, and we are the work of thy hand. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I want to thank you tonight for the privilege to read this old book. And Lord, for the privilege even more so to have this old book to read us. And Lord, you know exactly what we need. Before we even ask, God, you know what we need, but you said to ask. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd use this preacher tonight. God, that the Holy Spirit would minister to our hearts, minister to our lives. God, tonight that something might be said that would encourage us, that would challenge us. And Lord, that as we head in towards a season of revival, God, that you might revive our hearts. Lord, we sure do love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you, our Lord, for using us. God, we pray, Lord, you'd help us in these days. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. I want to speak tonight just for a few minutes on some things that should cause us to get a hold of God. Some things that should cause us to get a hold of God. I understand tonight that Isaiah's kind of in a pinch. He's the one that he said, here am I, Lord, send me. And yet God said, I'm going to send you to a people that are not going to listen, and their heart is hardened, and they're rebelling against the things of God. And Isaiah looks around him here in Isaiah 64. We mentioned Wednesday night. There's a spirit of desperation when he said, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down." But tonight, I actually thought that I might just continue with the thought from Wednesday night. But tonight it's just different. God just having me look at the chapter in a different way. Some things that should cause us to get a hold of God.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you've not already been there, you're going to come to a place in your life where you're going to need somebody to get a hold of God. And beloved, we can't afford to live in such a way where it would take us a half a day to get right with God so that we could get a hold of God. Because that moment may come just like that. Brother Billy Mitchell needs somebody tonight to get a hold of God. Pastor Sykes needs somebody to get a hold of God. Brother Aaron, this little baby don't know it yet. What was her name again, brother?
Emily,
that's right. That's just what we need is another Emily, ain't it? Amen. I'd take a house full of them kind. Say amen. Emily needs somebody to get a hold of God. Brother Joe Redman, Brother Merv, they need somebody to get a hold of God. We got revival scheduled. And you know what old Brother Don would say tonight? Somebody get a hold of God. There's lost people in our midst that need somebody to get a hold of God. We're living in a country. Listen to me tonight. There's a lot of confusion right now. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I know who the author of confusion is. But our country needs somebody to get a hold of God. Our school systems, the kids are going back to school. The teenagers, they're young people going back to college. And we need somebody to get a hold of God. I appreciate tonight Isaiah. He said, I looked around. He said, I didn't see anybody that stirred up themselves. We're living in a generation. I mentioned this Wednesday night. I feel like it needs to be mentioned again. Where people come to church and they want the choir to stir them up. Or they want a band to stir them up. Or they want a concert to stir them up. Or they want a preacher even to stir them up. But the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. And the Bible said here God's looking for somebody that would stir himself up to get a hold of God. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Churches like this are still here because years ago somebody got a hold of God. Mission programs are still going on and missionaries are still on the field because somebody got a hold of God. I tell you tonight, Brother Coulter told me last week he was going down to Rock of Ages to work this last week. Man works a full-time job, gets some time off, wants to go do something for God. Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Say amen. I said, brother, they're going to be on your trail. He said, they already are. He said, they can be pretty persuasive, can't they? I said, yeah, they can. Amen. I've been around them. You say, why, preacher? Because they need help. Because prisoners are dying without God and going to hell every day. And so they'll try to persuade anybody. If you even think God might be leading you this way, come and help us, amen, in the prison systems. Somebody needs to get a hold of God. There's some things that should cause us to get a hold of God. Let me give them to you just quickly. In chapter number 63, and I'm backing up on purpose again because I can't get over this truth that the Lord taught me this week. If you go back, Isaiah's desperate in chapter 64, but the reason for his desperation is found in chapter number 63. He said, who is he that cometh from Edom, that dyed garments from Basra? And this is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thy apparel, thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? He said, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. We need to get a hold of God because God is coming and judgment is coming. The Bible, I believe, is describing here what's going to go on in the Valley of Armageddon. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, that's the side of God that we just read in four verses that most in this generation never want to see and will never accept. But the same Bible that teaches us that God is a God of mercy, a God of love, a God of grace, teaches us that God is a God that is angry with the wicked every day. And my beloved friend, it teaches us that judgment is around the corner. I believe the Lord's coming alone should cause us to want to get a hold of God. Bob and I were talking coming across the road to church tonight. He's been reading some of A.W. Tozer's material on prayer and different things. But you know, tonight, I just want to say it like this. I believe if Jesus were to kneel here and pray tonight, help me tonight. I believe if Jesus just knelt here and prayed out loud, loud enough that we could hear him, he sure wouldn't be praying for a show. He may not be praying much above a whisper, but I believe if you knelt down alongside of him, you'd be just like the disciples. You'd be saying, Lord, teach us to pray. I believe tonight that Jesus wouldn't pray for 5 or 10 minutes and we would know that Jesus was getting a hold of God. Somebody help me tonight. And I believe tonight that you and I have probably lived around some of God's people that we knew when they bowed their head, they got a hold of God. I told you about this before, but I had a lady that I had the privilege to be her pastor. And I tell you, it didn't matter where you were standing. And sometimes, you know, it wasn't always convenient. But if you said to that sister, sis, pray for me, honey, just look out. I mean, she wasn't going to say, come on back to church or let's go over here. I mean, if it was in the vestibule, she'd say, let's pray. And she'd bow her head. And it wouldn't be, beloved, 30 seconds till you'd know that heaven was come down in your midst. Amen. She knew how to get a hold of God. And I believe tonight that God is saying to us as we head in towards revival and head in towards a November election and head back to school, that somebody needs to get a hold of God. Somebody needs to get a hold of God. And the coming of the Lord ought to cause us to want to get a hold of God. His presence ought to cause us to want to get a hold of God. Beloved, listen. The Bible talked about here that the mountains might flow down in His presence. Since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor either eye seen, O God, beside Thee, what He hath prepared for him that waited for Him. I just say this tonight. Listen to me. I say it without apology. I say it from experience. Most of us don't have time to get a hold of God. Most of us won't wait. The Bible talks about that waiting on Him. Most of us won't wait. Am I right or am I wrong? I looked on a church sign. I'm not going to say what kind of church or what denomination. That's not what it's about. But it said, spend 5 minutes in the Bible in prayer every day. Is that what we've gotten to? Is that where we've come to? Beloved, I believe it would shock us to know how many of God's people have not spent 5 minutes in the Bible and in prayer in the last week, let alone today. We need to get a hold of God. You say, preacher, why do we need to get a hold of God? Because when we get a hold of God, God will get a hold of us. And what we need is God to get a hold of us. He's shaking the mountain here. The mountain, He's got power. And when we get a hold of God, we're going to experience His presence. And I'll say this to you tonight. There's nothing in this world like His presence. Can I get an amen from the congregation? So why would it surprise us that everything the flesh is about is to keep us out of His presence? Everything the devil is about is to keep us out of His presence. Everything the world is about is to keep us out of His presence. Because our enemy knows when we get in His presence, beloved, business is picking up. I believe there's no substitute. We should get a hold of God because of His presence. There's no substitute. We should get a hold of God because of His promise. Look at verse 5. The Bible said, Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Now, I may be wrong right here, but I used to know an old preacher. And he's in heaven now. His name was Malin Wyatt. Malin, he had one of them things
Some of y'all are so young, you don't even know what I'm about to say. How many of you can remember what a boom box was? I mean the teenagers in the day set it on their shoulder and they go down the road. Am I telling it right? With their boom box. Brother Malin White was a Baptist preacher. Brother Grizzly had him a boom box. And he had him some tapes. He'd go into a home. I know Jesus sent him out two by two. I reckon he couldn't find nobody to go with him, so him and Jesus just went. He'd go into a home carrying a boom box and a Bible. And you know what he would do? He'd set that boom box on the table and he'd talk to the folks a little bit and he'd say, would it be all right if we just listened to an old gospel song? He'd close that tape deck up and push play. He'd play a song like Victory in Jesus. He'd play a song like Amazing Grace. It done two things. Number one, it warmed his own heart. The Bible said, thou meetest him that rejoiceth. I believe, listen tonight, that when we get ready to meet with God, I believe we ought to just get something on our heart that blesses us, amen? Something like the songs that we hear at church. There ought to be something that just causes us to rejoice. Maybe we ought to just take a few minutes and like one of the songs said, when I wake up in the morning, my family's all right. We got something to eat. We got clothes on our back. We got shoes on our feet. We got a roof over our head. And before we even go into the presence of God, just rejoice a little bit and say, oh Lord, I didn't come to ask you for anything. I just want to thank you for being so good to me. Thou meetest him. How many wants God to meet with you? We've got to have a little time for him to meet with us. But also, we need to know who he meets with. He meets him. The Bible said, thou meetest him that rejoiceth. And then, Bob, this goes exactly with what you said a while ago, and worketh righteousness. God ain't going to meet with somebody living like a devil. Help me. God ain't going to meet with somebody that's out of fellowship. God ain't going to meet with somebody that's not serious about the things of God. God's not going to meet with somebody that's not faithful. Once you learn the truth of what God requires and you buck against that truth, God ain't going to meet with you. God will meet with us when we don't know some things, as long as we're acting on everything that we do know. But beloved, if God says do this, I'll tell you where you're going to have to meet with him if you refuse to do it. You're going to have to go right back to that place where you refused. And God will meet with those. His promise, he said, thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned in those as continuance, and we shall be saved. I'll tell you something tonight. Listen to me carefully. Some people get saved and they get red hot and they get on fire and they start out right. But beloved, we need to continue in these things. We need to continue to rejoice. We need to continue to work righteousness. We need to continue to remember him in his ways. Avery's here tonight. Just got started. Nobody's going to remember much at all, Avery, how you got started in your Christian walk. I tell you what they're going to remember is how you finish. That's what they're going to remember. You wasn't even there when Papa got started. But God willing, you'll be around when Papa finishes his race. And you'll remember how Papa finishes his race. Beloved, listen tonight. And these as continuance, his promise. But look here, some things that should cause us to get a hold of God. I'm trying to hurry. His presence, his promise. But then his people. Look here tonight in verse number 9, the Bible said, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We're the clay. Thou art potter, and we are the work of thy hand. And then in the end of verse number 9, it says, we are all thy people. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen to me carefully tonight.
There's a mistake being made sometimes among God's people. We look over there and we see our brother or sister that's down. Let me tell you something right now. We ought to be getting a hold of God for that brother or that sister that's down. You say, preacher, why? Because tomorrow, that might be you. That might be me needing somebody to get a hold of God. We hear, don't you hear often about churches struggling? You say, preacher, you mean we ought to get a hold of God if we hear about a church that's struggling? That's exactly what I mean. Because next week, it might be our church that's needing somebody to get a hold of God. I'm telling you tonight, Isaiah said there was none that stirreth up himself to get a hold of God. There's several things here about his people, our condition. He said we're all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. I just want to say something tonight. Listen, I'm not being mean, but we're really not doing as good as we think we are most of the time. We're really not walking as close as we think we are most of the time. And I tell you what would prove it, if we just get a hold of God and listen to what God has to say about us. Somebody else might be impressed, but I'm going to tell you something tonight. The truth will come from our Father tonight. He knows how we're doing. Listen tonight. Our condition, our complacency. The Bible said, there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us. I will tell you something tonight. Listen to me carefully. I've lived like that. There have been times when I've bowed my head to pray and even bowed my knee to pray. And I knew the heavens were brass. I knew that God had hid his face. And I tell you, sometimes it takes a little while to figure out why. But if you really want to know why, my God will show you. He'll show you what it is that's come between you and him. He'll give you an opportunity. Oh, the hardest two words we've ever said is, I'm sorry. Amen. Well, I tell you, when you say that to the Lord and you mean it from your heart, oh, I tell you where we're at. We say, oh God, if I've done this or if I've done that, won't you just get real with God? Say, God, here's what I've done and it ain't right. Here's what I said and it ain't right. Here's the way I've been thinking and it ain't right. If we do that, we get a hold of God. God will get a hold of us. I look to hear our condition, our complacency. There's none that call upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Thou hast hid thy face from us, consumed us because of our iniquities. I tell you why else we need to get a hold of God is our clay. Let me say this. Look at verse 8. He said, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. Let me tell you something tonight. This old clay, it ain't much. But if you put it in the hands of the potter, he can do something with it. The psalmist said, he knoweth our frame. He knoweth that we are but flesh. He knoweth that. He knows our uprisings, Brother Steve, and our down sittings. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. But I tell you something else tonight. He knows how to perfect his strength in our weakness. And that's a blessing tonight. Our clay, we need to get a hold of God because of this clay that we live in. Now look at verse number 10 and I'm done. We need to get a hold of God that should cause us to get a hold of God, our conquest. The Bible said here, the holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem is a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house where our fathers praised thee is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? You say, preacher, what do you mean our conquest? I'm just saying this tonight. The scripture here that I'm reading in Isaiah chapter number 64, these verses, is not written to the church. How many heard what I just said? It's not written to the church, but it is written for the church. It is written for our admonition and for our learning. Now let me just say this tonight. The same enemy that Israel had is the same enemy that you and I have. Israel had an enemy called the flesh. Israel had an enemy called the devil. And Israel had an enemy called this world. And you and I have the same enemy. And you and I have the same access to the same God that Israel had access to through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Sister Sarah, you and Sister Heather and Sister Jane, those that are working with those real little ones, those 3 to 5 year olds, what a responsibility you have. Lives are being shaped and molded. Brother Aaron and Miss Amanda, what a responsibility you have. Brother Lance and Sister Amanda with the teenagers, what a tremendous responsibility that we have. We can't do this without him. I tell you what, it might look like we're doing something, but we're not doing anything if we don't have him working in us and working through us. Tonight, our fathers that are here, our homes that are represented, the Bible talked about Jerusalem being laid waste. You know what the devil would like to do? He'd like to lay your marriage waste. He'd like to lay your home waste. He'd like to lay our church waste. How many knows I'm telling it right tonight? He'd like Brother Grizzle just to lay the missions program waste. That's what he'd like to do tonight. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. I just thank God I have scripture that says greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And I'm asking you tonight, would you ask God in this altar tonight to stir you up? To get a hold of God. Not once a week. Not just on Sunday. But to stir you up to get a hold of God. I tell you what, I believe tonight I could get a volunteer from to pray from 6:30 to 7 or 7 to 7:30. But I believe in a crowd this size, I believe every minute of every day could be covered if we all just listen to him. And minded the Lord, prayed for revival, asked God to get a hold of us, ask him to teach us to get a hold of him. I believe that's why the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, teach us to pray. It's because they had heard Jesus get a hold of God. I know there was a time when they went to sleep. Jesus went a stone's throw. You know what I believe? Listen to me carefully. I believe if Peter had it to do over again, just knowing how Peter is, instead of staying over there and sleeping, I don't know what the word is. I believe he would have snuck up on Jesus, sneaked up on Jesus, however you say it. I believe he'd got over a little closer, tried to hear what he was saying. He wouldn't have been asleep. He'd have heard the master say, oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He'd have heard the master say, nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. How many believes that would have encouraged Peter? But I'm going to tell you something right now. We're a whole lot like Peter. We're asleep when we ought to be praying, when we ought to be getting a hold of God. Amen. I mean, he's glad you come tonight.